Quickly on the parsha, it's late already, so I don't want to take up too much time. I think there's an important message on the parsha that Pshim Shapinkas points out. If you read through the Psukim, towards the beginning part of the parsha, the Torah talks about the midbar years. The Torah says, some loss, chalev also me'alecha, ragel chalev etzeka. The clothing never wore out, your shoes never wore out. If you ever took your kids clothing shopping, I don't suggest you ever do. It's a very painful experience. I've taken my kids many times. It's very difficult. And I'm not even talking about the financial part. You go to the shoe store here on Central Avenue and sit there all day, watch the bills. I watch people, they buy $700, $800. They're buying shoes for their kids for the year. It's like, my heart goes out. Then I see my bill, my heart goes out twice. Because I have to pay for it. But in any case, it's a beautiful bracha. Your clothing never wears out. Your shoes never wear out. You have all the food in the world. It's a beautiful, utopic world. So ask Rishim Shabik, he said, how do you do chesed? How do you do tzedakah? How can it be for 40 years the Jewish people lived in an environment that never had tzedakah? That's his question. So he says an unbelievable chiddush. He says Hashem orchestrated that on purpose. Because we know tzedakah tatzlami mavis. We know tzedakah has an unbelievable power. And this door had to die out. Because they had to die because it was a punishment. So if they would have had tzedakah, it would have protected them and they would have never died. It's amazing chiddush. It just shows you how far tzedakah goes, the extent of the power of tzedakah. And therefore he says this door had to bedafka not have money. So they couldn't have the ability to do tzedakah. And this way they were able to die out when they needed to. That's his chiddush. The big chiddush, in my opinion. I think the answer to the question is that it's not such a kasha, in my opinion. I think the answer is because tzedakah is not always with money. I think you could do tzedakah without money. Tzedakah is not always in a form of writing a check and making a big donation. Tzedakah comes in forms of speaking nicely to someone, listening, being a listening ear. Sometimes people just need someone to talk to, someone to hear them out. Not always to solve their problems or fix their problems, but just to listen to them. Hear them, you know, a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on. And that doesn't even cost any money. That's free. And Avada in the Midbar, they had a lot of issues. Now you'll say to me, how could they have issues in the Midbar? All their finances were taken care of. There was no tuition. There was no, what's there to stress about? So I know that there were stresses because Chazal tell us that Aaron was busy all day long working on Shalom Bayis, the 40 years in the Midbar. What's Shalom Bayis? What's there to fight about? Were your wife mad at you because you didn't go to the grocery store? There was no grocery store. She's mad at you because you didn't buy her new dress? Tell her, what are you offering me? I can't buy you dresses. Some loss of balsam alacha. Even though my wife pointed out that for 40 years, the style's probably changed. So you can imagine at some point, the women are like, this is old clothing already. What are you giving me old clothing? Now, the truth is, the Mefarshim point out, what about the people who were born after they left Mitzrayim? They didn't have any clothing. I mean, the first generation left Mitzrayim with their shirts on their back, so that clothing never wore out. What happens if you were born 5 years into the Midbar? What'd you wear? So Mefarshim point this out. It's a good question. But in any case, what's there to fight about? So the Mefarshim say, you see from here, that even when you have money and everything is taken care of, there's still what to fight about, which is true. Ask any couple, there's still always what to fight about. You still can throw your socks on the wrong side of the bed and your wife will be mad at you, right? Even if there's money and even if there's everything. So therefore, I think the answer to Pinkus's question is, they were doing other types of chesed. They were listening to each other, you know, a listening ear, you know, you're going through a difficult time, whatever it is. And that's also tzedakah. And that tzedakah is also important. Tzedakah taught something of us. Not only financial. We say before Rosh Hashanah, I was already getting into Elul. It's hard to imagine. Summer just got started, already up to Elul. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Tzedakah doesn't only mean you write a check. Tzedakah means you're there for someone. You're a listening ear. You're sympathetic. My Rosh Hashiva, Bzal Gebstein, his yard set was last week. So he was known for being someone that people used to come talk to. He was a big baleitzer. But he said about himself, as he said this over to his son, my Rebbe, he said he's not sure what he's going to get Olam Haba for. He's not sure if his Torah is good, so it's going to get to Olam Haba. He's not sure if his Shurim or his Habas's Torah. He said there's one thing he knows for sure he's going to get Olam Haba for. He says people come to him, he listens to them, and they walk out, they feel better. And half the time he never helped them. Some people don't want to be helped, or they're not helpable. There's a lot of people like that in the world. And therefore he said, I'm going to get out of my boat because I just listen to these people. Just listen to them. We have the ability in our community, in our greater community, just to listen to people. You know, they need to vent. They need to complain. You can't solve their problems. And they're not even looking for solutions. They just need to vent. They just need to, you know, get it out there. It's not a big opportunity. It's a big schus that we can just, you know, be there for other people, be a listening ear to be able to make people feel better. It's a big mitzvah to make people feel good. Make them feel good, make them feel better, make them feel happy, make them feel b'simcha. And that's what we learn, I think, perhaps, from the parsha. Okay, so let's
get the coffee count.
It's a huge mitzvah. Avad, mezakeh, the rabbim, you can't get bigger than that, David.
Only if it's good. How about sending out emails?
No, people don't like that.
That's annoying.
Okay, let's get back to work over here. Okay, so holding over here in the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Lamed, I apologize, I'm having issues with the
Don't worry, I'll hear about it, sure.
Okay, that's also good for Klai Yisrael. People need to complain. They need someone to complain to. It's good. Okay, so let's...
I'm in the waiting room as the shiur started.
Yeah, I'm having... I don't know, I have to log in. I'm late. I'm running behind a little bit this morning, so we'll just have to start. That's it. You'll get it on YU Torah afterwards. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara one more time. Zark the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda HaKol Moid Mibal Anidah Shem Mishalom Kanas. Everyone agrees that if you're boil, if you're Ma'anis or Mefate, Anidah, that you have to pay the Kanas. What's the Chiddush over here? Because we had a Machloikis earlier in the Gemara of what type of woman gets Kanas. Is she have to be someone that you're able to make Kedushin to? Or someone that you're able to stay married to? Either Yesh Bahavaya, which means you can technically have Kedushin, and we learned from the Gemara earlier in Kedushin that the Gemara says that Nida has Tvisus Kedushin. The Gemara is a special Xerxes Kasov. What about Ru'i Lekaima? We spoke a little bit about this last week. Ru'i Lekaima doesn't mean you can live with her, because you can't live with a Nida. So either it means Ru'i Lekaima because you could live with her when she becomes Tahar, or Ru'i Lekaima means, like we saw from the Briskerov, Ru'i Lekaima means that there's nothing wrong with the marriage. There's nothing technically wrong with the marriage. Not only can you get married, the actual Ishus doesn't bother us. What bothers us is the Bia. So either way, the Gemara says, "Lamando ma yesh b'havaya, hanami yesh b'havaya." This tefisas kedushin to a nida. Lamando ma really kaima, hanami really kaima. She's able to stay married as well. Okay, now here's where we got to pick up from last week. Ula afuke midreb nechunya ben akana, and this is coming to disprove Reb Nechunya ben akana. Thank you. What's this? So there's machlokes Rashi Tosfos what the this is. Rashi learns ula afuke midreb nechunya masnisin. It's going back on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the Mechayiv Tashlum and the Baal Achoisin. Now go back to our Mishnah. If you remember in our Mishnah, at the end of our Mishnah, which we started 30 weeks ago, the end of our Mishnah, the Mishnah had a case of, let's say, for example, Baal Achoisin. Someone's boil his sister. He's Ma'anis his sister. So the Mishnah says over there, and what? He's Pata from, he's Chayiv Knas. So says Rashi, so this Reb Nechunya ben Akana disagrees with our Mishnah. Why does Reb Nechunya ben Akana disagree with our Mishnah? Because Reb Nechunya ben Akana holds the time we learned in a brayso, Reb Nechunya ben Akana says Yom Kippurim k'Shabbos. Reb Nechunya ben Akana treats Yom Kippur just like Shabbos. L'tashlumu with regard to payments. What does that mean? We know there's a halacha called Kim Leibed Rabbi Minei, which obviously we'll get much more into in the next following weeks. There's a halacha called Kim Leibed Rabbi Minei, means if Bezdin, Pasha is a din in Bezdin, that if Bezdin has to give a person the death penalty, and he also has a chi of mominus. So the halach is, he doesn't pay, he doesn't get both, he gets one and not the other. Now, that's all true when it's something like Mises Bezdin. What about something like Karis? Karis comes from Hashem, it's not from Bezdin. So Reb Nechunya ben Akana says, no, even Karis, which comes from Hashem, that also has Kim Leibed Ramini. And that's what it means over here in the Braisa, that he makes Kim Kippur like Shabbos. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, Reb Nechunya ben Akana, Yoiseh, Kim Kippur, Shabbos, L'tashlumin, with regard to payments. Ma Shabbos, Nuschai ben Avshar, but the L'tashlumin, just like on Shabbos. If a person kills someone, the person beats someone up. Let's say a guy punches someone in the face, and while doing so, he rips his shirt also. So he's mechoyiv misa for punching him in the face and causing a black and blue mark, which is shaychet. He's also mechoyiv for ripping his shirt or breaking his glasses. So the Gemara says, but he's pater from the tashlumin. So af yom kippurim, so too, if he was to do a malach on yom kippur, which would violate issi yom kippur, mischayiv b'nafshay pater min tashlumin. That's from the Nechunya ben Akana's chiddush. Now again, the Nechunya ben Akana's chiddush is that we say kim leibed ramine even by karis, not by something that comes from bezdin. The classic example of kim leibed ramine is either bezdin giving misa and bezdin giving money, or malchus and misa, malchus and mammon. Those are the two major normal, typical cases of kim leibed ramine. And in our sugya, we're going to talk about a case of karis. But what's unique about karis is it doesn't come from Bezdin. It comes from Hashem. Hashem controls karis. And therefore, since Hashem controls karis, maybe there's no kim leibed ramine. So Nechunya ben Akana says, no, there's kim leibed ramine even by karis. Fine. We'll get to maybe today or next time where he learns it from. But let's get back to the sugya over here. So what does that have to do with our Gemara? So Rashi says, this from Nechunya ben Akana can't agree with our Mishnah Ksubas. Why? Because it says in our Mishnah Ksubas that if a person is ma'anis his sister, he has to pay knas. Why is he paying knas? Because he should be part because of kim leibed ramine. He's going to get karis for living with his sister. So if he gets karis, he shouldn't have to pay the money. And the Mishnah says he pays the money. So the answer is, our Mishnah doesn't agree with the Nechunya ben Akana. What does our Tana hold? Our Tana holds there's no kim leibed ramine by karis. Kim leibed ramine is only by bezdin. And when we get into the drushas, we'll see why that makes a lot of sense. Because kim leibed ramine might be a din in bezdin's authoritative power. Not in Hashem's power. Hashem's power is endless. But here's the question, how much bezdin can do? Can bezdin do this and this? The answer is no, bezdin can only do one. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Now, says Rashi, let's just finish out the Rashis. Ulafuke in the Chundi Masis and the Mechayef Tashlum and Levala Chois. Now, again, according to Rashi, this has nothing to do with the Sugya before about Nida. This is a new Gemara. The way you read the Gemara according to Rashi is we learned the Sugya about Nida, period, two dots. Ulafuke is a new Sugya. Meaning, the Chundi Menachon is not directly connected to the comment about Nida. And the Chundi Menachon is reflective back on the Mishnah that we learned in the beginning of the parak. Says Rashi, Lafukin the Khimana Khan Masis Mechaiv Tashwoman, Lavoya La Khoy Say, the Mishnah that's Mechaiv, someone who lives with his sister, Afal Bishim is Chaiv Karis, so even though he's gonna get Karis for living with his sister, Mafka the Mechunya is not like Rim Nechunya. As Yom HaKippurim k'Shabbos, what does he mean? A Nechunya makes Yom Kippur like Shabbos. Lipoter Hamadliges Hagodesh Yom HaKippurim k'ilu hidlikos b'Shabbos. Okay, let's say a person makes a fire. Guy walks into your backyard, he burns down your backyard. We don't burn down your house, people can get hurt. He burns down someone's backyard. Mazik, money. So he's chayiv for making a fire on Shabbos. He's chayiv for being a mazik. So we say, kim lebedram minei. What happens if he does the same activity on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, that's Rim Nechonim ben Akana. And the Chonim ben Akana says, no, he's also potter. Because kim lebedram minei. So says Rashi, ma Shabbos, shuhu misab bezdin, potter men atashlumin, kedetanam bimas nisin gabi balabita v'yalaf, lom lo yeh osan onish enoish. It says in the pasuk, lo yeh osan. And this pasuk is talking about if you hit a pregnant lady. Pashas v'shpatim. If he says if the law yeh osan, if there won't be a osan, then onish enish, then he has to pay. But hom yeh osan, which means the woman dies, so then he's potter for the dmei velodis. He doesn't have to pay for the values of the fetus. So says the Gemara, af yom hakibum zagrashi shu kares chiyav nefesh uze upotter min hatashlum. So therefore, even kares is also considered a chiyav misa, even though it's not bezdin, you're still potter min hatashlum. So Rav Nachman ben Akana can't work with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says if you live with your sister, and halacha is if you live with your sister, you're going to get kares, it's one of the chayav krisos, and the Mishnah says you still have to pay knas to your sister, so that can't be like Rav Nachman ben Akana.
The Mishnah says yesh lahen knas, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean that it has to be practical?
Oh, very good. So you're getting involved in something which we're going to see in the Pnei Yeshua later about what happens if it be chayv yishayig again.
No, or even kinlay. Does
kinlay
mean that the chiyuv doesn't exist? So the chiyuv exists, but you don't have to pay it.
The Mishnah,
the
Mishnah says
pay.
Over. No, it sounds like
they
have
to pay it.
No. The Mishnah sounds like they're going to have to pay it. We'll talk maybe a little bit more. That's the lashon. So if you remember when we started at the parak, we talked about this diak, the lashon of yesh lahem knas. It's taka diak. Why is it said that way? So I forgot already what we said, but I remember the diak. That's a big accomplishment already. There's definitely a diak in the lashon of the Mishnah Yesh Lahem Knas. Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about. Is it definite where kimlay applies to knas?
That's what we're gonna get to today a little bit. To whether or not kimlay b'diramine is gonna apply to knas also, because knas is a unique thing. Again, you didn't cause any loss. Again, when you're ma'anis a girl, we spoke about this many times, there are punishment, there are financial responsibilities that are financial loss. Let's say boishis begam. That's a financial value. Knas is just because you're a jerk. You're low life. We want to deter other men from being like you. Right? So that's a different type of a payment versus when I rip your shirt or I burn down your field. Okay, we're going to have to get to that hopefully sometime today as well. So Taisvis over here brings down a Gavalda Kakasha. Taisvis is learning the Gemara, not like Rashi. Taisvis didn't make the stop sign like we did. Taisvis reads the Gemara one big flow, which means the Gemara started off with Reb Chizda. Reb Chizda told me everyone holds that Baal Anida has to pay Knas. So the question is, 1 second. What's a Nida? What type of Aver is a Nida? Chayv Krisus. So why does, who said everyone holds that a Nida has to pay Knas? According to him, the Chunya ben Akana, Nida doesn't have to pay Knas, because a Nida is a Chayv Karis. According to him, the Chunya ben Akana, if you have Kim Lebedi Ramene by a Karis. So if you have Kim Lebedi Ramene, you're not going to have to pay. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, Hakol Moid, everyone agrees? So the way Taisus read the Gemara, Taisus was reading the Gemara, and he's saying, 1 second. Why is everyone agreed to Baal Anida? It's everyone except for Reb Nechunya ben Akana. I mean, when the Gemara says Lafuke Reb Nechunya ben Akana, it means that Reb Nechunya ben Akana argues on the halacha about Nida. He's not getting involved in our Mishnah. He's going back on the previous statement of the Gemara. When the Gemara said Baal Anida, everyone holds you have to pay. The Gemara says everyone except for Reb Nechunya ben Akana. And Nechunya ben Akana holds you don't have to pay. Why? Because Reb Nechunya ben Akana has a rule that chayv krisus have kim lebed ramine, and this is a case of chayv krisus.
So what's really going on? It's on Nida. It's on everything in the Mishnah that's krisus.
Oh, good. So now, if you're open to the notion that it's on Kar, so why is it not on all the cases in the Mishnah?
Right.
So we'll see in the Pnei Yeshua, hopefully source number 12, we'll see how you can get out of the Mishnah perhaps versus getting out of the statement of Rav Chizda. Hopefully we'll get to that at some point. So let's see Taisus number 3. Teima l'ri, frek d'ri akasha. Minolon de b'shem ha'menasya moideba. Again, who were the two Amoraim that we had in the Gemara arguing about Havaya and Kiddush and Yeshbo Roy Lekaima? Reb Shimon Menasseh and Shimon HaTemani. So Frank takes a very simple question. Who says Reb Shimon Menasseh agrees?
Which,
Dim,
was
it,
which,
he was Roy Lekaima. I forgot already. Well, no, you'll see in a second why. It doesn't matter that much. We'll see in a second. Dilma Krim Nechunya Ben Akana Svule. Maybe he holds like Nechunya Ben Akana that holds the Chayv increases to him in at the Shulman. Frank tells you, well, I don't get the Gemara. Everyone holds that you have to pay by Nida. Why everyone? We have a machlokes in the Gemara whether or not you have to be able to get married or stay married. And you say, well, here, Nida, everyone holds you can stay married, everyone holds you can get married. But maybe one of those players in the Sugya hold that of Kimle, like of Nechunya Ben Akana. And if they hold like in the Chunyim and Akana, so there's Kimlev dominated by Karis, so you're potter for a different reason. How does the Gemara make such a blanket statement? Everyone agrees you're going to have to pay by a nidah. What do you mean? Maybe not. Maybe one of those Tanoim, Amaroim, hold like in the Chunyim and Akana. And if they hold like in the Chunyim and Akana, there's Kimlev dominated. And if there's Kimlev dominated, there is no payment. So how could Reb Chisda make such a bold statement? Oh, everyone holds you have to pay by a nidah. Why? How do you know that? Maybe one of the two Amaroim held like in the Chunyim and Akana. That's Taisvis's Kash. Now here's where Taisa gets a little bit more complicated. He says, "Umiu." However, says Taisa, "Reb Shimon Atimoni, al kochach lesa d'chunya." But Reb Shimon Atimoni, I know he definitely doesn't hold of him the chunya ben akana. How do you know? Says Taisa, "Mide itzvich l'mutei chayvi krisus meloi si elisha isha sheyesh b'havaya." Because if you remember back in the Gemara in Daf Chav Tesa Mid Beis, we had the Gemara worked through drushes. And Shimon HaTemani told us that I need the pasuk of Eloi Sili Isha to teach me someone that you're able to get married to. Who am I not able to get married to? Chavi Krisus. So from the pasuk where it says in the Torah you have to be able to marry her, that's how I know that Chavi Krisus don't get knas.
Yeah, but the nida is a temporary situation. Yeah. Another woman that might have been a chavi could be a lifelong.
Right. So nida is the exam.
It's
the,
not nida anymore.
Right. So nida has Teresa's kedushin. But Teresa's point is that according to him, the Chunya ben Akana, he needed a special pasuk to tell me that any chavi. Let's forget nida for a second. Any chavi Krisus doesn't have knas. You know why? Because it says in the Torah you only pay knas to women that you're able to marry, and chavi Krisus he can't marry. Frank Taisus, I don't get it. Why do I need a drasha to exclude Chavi Krisus? Because of Elois Elisha, if he holds like in the Chunya ben Akana, that is Kim Leib Diramine, it's automatically excluded. Why do I need a pasuk to exclude Chavi Krisus from Knas? Of Elois Elisha, they should be excluded because according to the Chunya ben Akana, every Chavi Krisus has Kim Leib Diramine. Kim Leib Diramine means you don't pay. So there's no Knas because you're exempt from the payment. So Frank Taisus, why would Reb Shimon HaTemani need to exclude Chayvi Krisos and not just exclude it because of the Chunya Ben Akana? It must be he doesn't hold over the Chunya Ben Akana. Because if he were to hold over the Chunya Ben Akana, why would he need a pasuk to exclude Chayvi Krisos?
Because he knew people didn't hold like him, so he came up with another. But
Taisus is trying to figure out what. Taisus is trying to figure out if Reb Shimon HaTemani holds of Kimlei or not. So Taisus is proving he doesn't hold of Kimle, because if he were to hold of Kimle, why would he?
Know that.
What?
Maybe he does hold of Kimle.
So why can't that be the reason?
For those who do,
right.
Hold
he
Kimle,
wants
he's
to bring
another reason.
Maybe
he wants to bring the pasuk because it's a machlokas in Rabbi Chunin ben Akana.
But if he personally holds that way, and he's trying to explain his opinion, so he doesn't need to justify to the world. He justifies to himself, and he holds like him the Chunin. Now, what
he also is saying that there's an Indian of Yesh Bahavaya as opposed to Yesh of the Kiyuma.
If he's trying to make the point that there's no mum in his chiyuv, so why does he have to go the direction because of Lais Isha? So what I'm waiting for everyone to point out to me is there might be a big nafkamina if you're potter because of a pasuk, if you're potter because of Kim Levi Dramine. That's where we're going.
Meaning,
yes, but is it possible that it'd be practical nafkaminas lahalacha between being exempt from the parasha or being exempt because of Kim Levi Dramine? And or knosis. That's a second follow up.
If you might have a knos.
Yeah, but might. Right, so does that help? You're going to be potter anyways over here. You either potter because of the pasuk, or you're potter
because. That's why you need a pasuk. Because it was just without the pasuk, you could just be might.
No, but you're going to be potter anyways without the pasuk because of Kim Lev Dramini. We're trying to figure out why.
If you hold that.
Right, and we're suggesting that that's what Shimon HaTemani holds. Now we'll see again. We'll see in a second from the Chassam Sofer that there might be a fundamental difference between when you're potter because the Torah exempts you or when you're potter because of Kim Levi Dramini. We think right now that Kim Levi Dramini means you're potter. You're done. You're scot-free. Leave me alone. You can never get the money from me. We'll see, based on the Gemara and Bar Mitzvah, it might not be so simple. might be kimle dabnei. It means Bezdin can't force you to pay. But let's say I decide to take the money from you. I walk into your house and I take the money that you owe me. Because Bezdin can't make you pay, but deep down you owe me the money. Because you are guilty. We're not denying the fact over here. This is like, you know, lahavdil, a legal loophole. It's a legal loophole. Oh, Bezdin can't give two punishments. But klapei Shemaya, comparative to Hashem, are you a bad guy? Yeah, you owe me the money. Or maybe not. You can clear that, which we'll have to clear. Oh, good. Very good, very good. That's what we're going to have to get to, hopefully, when we get through the circuit. That's always something to keep in mind. Kareis versus Mises Bezdin is working differently. Which is good for the Chiddush of the Chinyan Ben HaKan. Okay.
And they just...
Yeah.
So by a sister, which is Chayav Krisus, she's your sister forever, right? So that Chiyav never goes away.
True.
So Lucia Alicia...
is impossible, right.
But by Anida, that's a temporary state of being. So if it... So that's if true. So then, when she's no longer Anida, is she still Lucia Alicia, or is she...
No. Anida is Lucia Alicia. You could marry Anida. Anida is able to get married to. That's what we said earlier. Anida is the exception to the Chayav Krisus rule. Anida, you could marry Anida. While she's still Anida, you can still marry her. So
that's why it's the example of...
That's why I'm Dafka, not using Nida. I'm using a Chayse for a second. We'll come back to Nida. Okay. So are we all clear on Taisus's kasha? So Taisus's question is, I'm going to prove to you that Reb Shimon HaTemani doesn't hold of Reb Nechunya Ben HaKana. Because if he were to hold of Reb Nechunya Ben HaKana, why did he need to dig up a drasha to show me why there's no knas by Chavi Krisos? Because of Eloisi Elisha. Forget Eloisi Elisha. Maybe the Torah doesn't care if you're able to marry the woman. So why is there no knas by kares? Because every kares carries kim lebed rabmine. Elamai says Taisus, it must mean that Reb Nechunya Ben HaKana does not hold that there's such a thing called kim lebed rabmine by Chavi Krisos. That's Taisus's chesh. That Reb Shimon HaTemani doesn't hold Reb Nechunya Ben HaKana. Now again, but the premise is based on this point. Is what? That if there would be a din of kim lebed rabmine by kares, why would I need a pasuk of Eloisi Elisha to exclude Chavi Krisos from knas? They should be self-excluded because of kim lebed rabmine. That's Taisus's premise. Fine. Let's just read a little bit further in Taisvis. Says Taisvis, let's just read it one more time. Umi Reb Shimon HaTemani akorchech lesu din nechunya. Reb Shimon HaTemani does not hold of him nechunya. Midi itzvich lemutei chavi krisis m'loi silisha. Since he needed to exclude chavi krisis from the pasuk of loi silisha, that isha sheyesh bahavaya, da akorchech lo yitzvich lemutei ala chavi krisis. That pasuk can only come to exclude chavi krisis. Why? The chavi lavin sri lebe sefa chayel is the isba bahavaya. Because he holds chavi lavin, you could get married to a chavi lavin. So when the Torah says, this woman you have to marry, Chavi Lavin you are allowed to marry. So who was the Torah excluding when the Torah said you have to be able to marry her? Who's left in the book? Chavi Krisus. And Chavi Krisus you can't marry, and since you can't marry them, there's no knas. Avo me Reb Shimon ben Menasseh kosher. But we don't have any proof what Reb Shimon ben Menasseh held. Minolon the less later in the chunya. Maybe he doesn't hold of him in the chunya. Okay, Taisus gets a little bit more complicated. Maybe we'll leave it off for now. Then Taisus ends up learning the Gemara. Let's skip to V'yesh Loimar. V'yesh Loimar, the Rev Chizda Svirle, the Ein Shum Tano Sova Kerem Nechunya. Taisus learned the Gemara's kash was there's no one in this world that holds like him Nechunya. It's not even a possibility. So when Taisus reads the Gemara, he reads the Gemara like one long flow. Rev Chizda says that Yechai for Balanida. Why? Because there's not one town in this world that holds like him Nechunya Menachon. Don't even try to sell me that. He's such a Das Yoch and no one holds like him. And since no one holds like him, so then it's Pashut that there's no Kimle on Chavi Krisus. If there's no Kimle, that's why you have to pay when you're Baal Anit. That's Tais Vesishit. Rashi learned that the two Gemaras are not connected. They're two independent statements. Now, Tais Vesishit's assumption is very controversial. What was Tais Vesishit's assumption? Tais Vesishit's assumption is that if there's a din of Kimle by Chavi Krisus, I would not need a Pasuk to exclude Chavi Krisus. That's Tais Vesishit's assumption. What's wrong with that assumption? Now, the truth is, we'll get to it right now, is let's say a person does something that's chayv in kimle. Right? Reuven burns down Shimon's house on Shabbos. So he gets the death penalty for burning down Shimon's house, and he doesn't pay for the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he was mazik. How do we look at that chayv moments? Is the Torah saying that I'm exempting you completely 100%, you don't have to pay a dime, and when you get up to Shemayim, we're not going to have a tain on you for that money? Or maybe not. Maybe you did an act that was wrong, you were a mazik, it was a debt, you caused harm, you caused loss, but there's a technical problem, we can't make you pay two things. What's the nafkamina? So we'll see in a second, there's such a concept called tfisa and lotz yisidei shemayim. Let's say, for example, I run and I grab the value. I take the exact same amount of money that you owe me. Does Bezdin rip it out of my hands? So you'd say, of course, you're a ganif. The answer is maybe not. You're not a ganav because that money's really owed to me. The problem over here is not that you don't owe me the money. The problem is Beis Din can't take it out. Beis Din can't force you to give it to me. But if I do it myself, I grab it myself, perhaps Beis Din can't take it away from me. That's
so
one possibility.
Be the same thing by Chiyuv Karis, then maybe
so then,
because in other words, it's not a din of Beis Din.
So then you can make the same argument that here also. If the Torah would have just excluded Karis from Lois Elisha, then the woman would have absolutely no right to demand the Knas money because the Torah exempted. But if it would be from Kim Leib Dir Amaminei, then it's not the pshat that the Torah exempted the money. The Torah said, I can't force the Ma'anis to give you the money. But then if the father of the girl goes herself and grabs the money, she would be allowed to keep it.
Procedurally, in this case, does it go through din? Does it go through a process of Beis Din, but they don't force it? Or they don't go through... Because how they establish that...
Beis Din paskins that he's chayiv misa for living with a chayiv krisis. And then Beis Din turns to the girl and says, I'm sorry that you were, nenas.
Shabbos and burning that,
Right, so Beis Din says, I'm sorry, we can't enforce the payment.
They go through that, I'm saying...
They'll figure out how much damage took place, possibly, and they'll make it, and they'll say, well, the damage was $100,000, but I'm sorry, you can't get a dime of it. So the guy says, no problem, and he's sleeping, he'll walk into his house and grab something which is $100,000.
Does this tefisa work by Knas?
Oh, good, that's what we got to get to also. This tefisa works by Knas, that's a chiddush from the Chassam Sefer.
Would that be shaykh?
What do you mean by Yorshim? If the kids have the right to tefisa?
Goes down to the kids after the guy dies.
Right, so the pashtus is not, it can't be a regular choif because, and like, that's part of our question.
I mean, he's putter because he's dying. His kids, they're not dying. What if he has a tremendous estate?
No, yeah, so the estate's also putter. The estate's also putter. Again, the father can never have to pay. The question is, can you circumvent the rule and somehow get the money out without making a payment from the estate or from the father?
You just said it. That's the difference. The father never has to pay. Huh? It doesn't mean the father doesn't owe.
So that's exactly the question. Is not having to pay a rye that you don't owe it, or not having to pay is a technical legal problem?
Why would that be?
That's what we're going to get to.
And why is it technical? I mean,
The Torah made it that way. The Torah structured it that you cannot enforce two payments. The Torah doesn't do it.
Why?
Yeah, we don't know why. We'll get to why, hopefully.
Yeah, but once
it is important. At the end of the day, it's Gzeiras HaKasuv. Now, the question is, what's the pshat in Gzeiras HaKasuv? So there's classical Achreinish HaTorah that somehow... The answer in a short answer is Gzeiras HaKasuv, and it's probably Gzeiras HaKasuv in how Beis Din works. I mean, there's tumul that somehow it's like B'chlal Masai Mana, that in the killing is the payment. Now tell it to the Yorshim. They don't get any money out of it. The fact that this guy gets the death penalty doesn't help the kids who just lost their house. So that's why that pshat's a little hard to understand. But that's one of the ways the Achrayim try to explain
it.
Simple answer is yes, of course. What?
One of them's mamonis and one of them's death. So it's not two for the same thing, meaning...
Well, which one's which? Which
case? No. In other words, let's say there's a chi of karis, right? And then there's a chi of mamonis. So you're saying... The question is whether we say, okay, is the chi of there just they can't enforce it or it takes away the chi of... Why can't there be both? Because at the end of the day, one is a killing and one is a din imamunis. In other words, it's not two. So HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. That's the Chonim and HaKadosh holds is Gzeiras HaKasuv that says that when a person gets karis, he doesn't have to pay money.
Right.
Just like when a person gets killed by Beis Din, he doesn't have to pay money. Now we're trying to figure out what that means. Does that mean that there is no chiyuv, and therefore if you come and grab it, you have to give it back? Well, no, there is a chiv, just Beis Din can't force the payment of the chiv.
Right, but what I'm asking is, we say kim le mirav, but why do we say it? It's two, the Yisurim are coming from two separate things.
Why
are
they coming from two separate things?
Because one is a din imamunis, and the other one's a din nefashis. He's getting killed on it. So therefore, you're getting the strong... I understand, but I'm saying in general, on the concept of kim le mirav, why do we say that? In other words, it comes if it came from the same reason, I could understand. You don't want to double whammy the guy. Well, but here's two separate things.
I'm not sure. Beis Din can't enforce two types of punishments.
But they're two different types of punishments.
I'm well aware of that. Every time Misa Mamanis is going to be two different types.
Right, so
that's part of the Chiddush.
So that's what I'm saying. Other than Gzeiras HaKasuv, is there any Svar in Kim Lemir?
You can't answer the question, so you understand what the Svar is. I
don't think there really is. I think it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, which probably is more of a din in Beis Din, that Beis Din can't, the Torah says Beis Din can't give two punishments. And we understand that you can't give a guy the death penalty twice, right? That doesn't make any sense.
No, right, but why can't you give Mamanis and then...
Good. We'll have to get to that. Right. Again, the whole chiddush of Nechonim and HaKonah, we have to delve into a little bit more.
Karis isn't a punishment.
From Beis Din. Oh, that's why everyone else argues on Nechonim and HaKonah. Right. Why does the rest of the world argue on Nechonim and HaKonah?
Because they hold your chayat.
No, because they hold...
Is there a proceeding for Karis?
Yeah, you'd have to have some form of...
Okay, so the only difference between Karis and regular Misa is that Misa Beis Din actually carries out the punishment.
But the punishment coming from Beis Din, that's the difference.
One second, what do you mean there's a procedure for Karis?
You have to be found. You have to have edim. There had to have been something.
Right. This is in Torah. This
had to be something. Torah, so I would assume. I don't know.
Say, we'll wait for God to do whatever He's going to do.
In this case, for sure, there is.
It's not a psak from look at actions.
No. It's not a psak from Bezdin of it. But here, that granted, this case line there was a storyline that happened. I guess you'd have to be know that it happened. Again, klap is shmaya gali. Hashem can give him kares either way, but he has to know that it's a chiv kares on his head.
Oh, in terms of
Bez is not going to operate within the Bez is not going to give the kares, but he has to at least know that there's a chiv. We'll talk about Lamashal. We're going to talk about Rabbi Chonon is going to have a shayla. What about if you have a suffik kimle? Let's say the guy's not sure if he's going to get cursed. I mean, he's not sure. Teres is Bezdin. There's certain information that's lacking or halachic backing. Well,
so that's enough gemina in the kares because you've got to know that it's
good.
A kares to be able
we'll
to
see. We'll see. Rabbi Chonon talks about it. Hopefully we'll get to that sometime this morning.
What would happen in a case where the burns down the field and the guy is not dead. He didn't die right away.
Oh.
So you go to Bezdin and there's damage.
So then
they pay. And he has to pay.
Then later he dies. I don't know.
He lives past 60.
In that case, so then he wasn't really chayv misa. And later on, he gets chayv misa. I'm not so sure if he'd be mechayv misa in the first place. Yeah, you'd have to be able to prove that. That might be more of a misa shayla. Whether or not you can prove that from his ailment he died or he died from something else.
If they can prove it.
If it's within the time.
Yeah, it'd have to be able to be misyaches into his original mice.
Right,
so hopefully the next couple sugyas, the next blot and a half, blot and ksubas that we're up to now, is all Kim Levi Ramanit. So hopefully we'll try to get this a little bit clear. But again, let's go back to our premise. The Tosfos' premise is that I don't need a pasuk to teach me to exclude Chayav Krisus because I can always exclude it from Kim Levi Ramanit. So I'm bringing up to you the following point. Maybe not. Maybe if it's excluded from a pasuk, Xeris HaKasav means you have absolutely no right to the money. If the Torah says V'loy Silisha, only women that can get married get knas, you're a Chayav Krisus, you don't get knas, that means even if you go and steal it, you still don't get it. Because you were exempt, you were excluded, the Torah says you don't get a dime. But what would happen if it because of Kimle? Right, the girl comes to Bezdin, she says, I was nenas by my brother. So Bezdin says, I'm sorry, we can't give you the money. But is Bezdin saying, well, you don't have rights to the money? Or Bezdin just saying, we can't give you the money, you know, if you go and grab the money, or let's say something called Lotzei Sidei Shemayim. What does it mean, Lotzei Sidei Shemayim? This person is going to come up after Mayav Esrim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to smack him upside the head for being Manas' sister, right? And then Hashem says, oh, by the way, you also have a monetary chayv to your sister. The guy says, what is a monetary chayv? I have Kim Levi, the guy's a London also. I got Kim Levi, the Rabbimine. Right, so the Bezdin's going to, Hashem's going to say to him, so what? Kim Levi Dramini just means that Bezdin can't enforce it. But hovering over your head is a financial responsibility that you need to take care of. Is that true? Did I just make up two concepts or not? So the answer is, like everything else, it's a
Choykes Rishonim. And the concept that you're talking about is in a din of that the woman was damaged as opposed to a fine for to prevent other people from doing it.
No,
that's also a difference.
I think any type of knas doesn't necessarily have to be. This knas is not because she was harmed. This knas is because the act that you did was a disgraceful act. When a guy is
maybe there's an exception to that in the Kimla Rav Mineh, because it's not, you're not passing judgment on the person owing the other person money.
Fine. Good.
Damage.
Good.
It's a separate thing.
So we're going to see the tzlach, the Chassam Sofer is going to develop such a svar. But let's first see if the concept that I just made up has any validity to it. So let's look at a Gemara in Bar Metzia first. Number four. Zakti Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, hachoisim es hapar of a doshpo. Let's say a person muzzles an animal and he threshes with it. They realize a lot of the Torah like sachsim sharbadisha. It's coming up in Parshas Kisitzi, I think. Right, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's going in the field. Animals like to eat, like us humans. So therefore, it's not fair. It's not right to muzzle an animal while the animal is walking in the field. But let's say you do it. So you're over a lav. But says the Gemara, not only are you over a lav, there's financial responsibility also. You have to pay. Says the Gemara, how much do you have to pay? So dalit kab and the paro, a gimel kab and the chamor. Depends what type of animal it is. If it's a paro, you got to give 3-4 kab. If it's a donkey, it's 3 kab.
Who do you give the money to?
Oh, it's your animal. So the case over here is, yep. So if you've seen the Rishayim, Rishayim learned, we're talking about a case where you rented an animal. You rent it, it's not your own animal, it's a rented animal. You rent an animal, like you rent a car today. You rent an animal, and you decide that you're going to take that animal, instead of allowing it to freely eat, you muzzle it. Which, in essence, is you're taking away the rights of the animal to eat. Which means this animal has a certain amount of food that it's supposed to eat throughout the day, and you're taking it away. And Chazal understood that exchanges into a monetary obligation to the owner. So you have a chiv mamonis to the owner that you rented the par from. But you did a lav.
But if it's yours.
So if it would be yours, probably. You'd still be over the lav, but you wouldn't have any mamonis chiv. So here we're talking about a case where you rented a par, you muzzled it, and therefore you chayiv to pay money to the guy, and you get malchus for muzzling the animals. We have a principle that you can't get misa and pay, you can't get malchus and pay. Now we'll have to maybe talk about at some point, are those working the same ways or are those working different? Is malchus and mammon one type of kimlei ben ramanei? Misa and mammon a different type of kimlei ben ramanei? And then the third case is kares and mammon. All these three different types of kimlei ben ramanei. So the Gemara's kash is how can you pay both? So the first answer, the Gemara is easy. We're going like Abaya holds you could pay. Loike umishal. Fine. Rava Amar.
But what does he do with the Xeris Kasev according to
Abaya? He holds no Xeris Kasev by Malchus, it's only by Misa.
Only by Misa, not by Malchus.
Okay.
Which Billy Nader will come back to explain why. There's a Shtekel Torah from Reb Chaim, we'll have to get to that at some point.
In the case of the Psukim is Misa.
That's right. So we'll have to, when we get to the Sugya, we'll hopefully come back to it. Now it says Rava, a different answer. Rava Amar, Esnan Osra Torah Vafilu Bo'al Imoy. Very cryptic statement, says Rava. There's such a thing called Esnan Osra Torah. What's an Esnan? Esnan Zayna means if a person pays for a Zayna with a animal instead of money, so that animal is not allowed to be brought on the Mizbech. It's dirty, it's tainted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want animals that we used for Maisiz Nos. So what does that have to do with Esnan Osra Torah? I feel a ball, even if you lived with your mother. How does that answer the question? What's going on? So very important Rashi number 5. Suck Rashi. Rav Omar Esnan Osra Torah, I feel a ball. This is all in Bamitzir Daf Tzadiyaf. Suck Rashi. What does it mean? The Nasan lo tleh be esnan, the person gives the tleh as the esnan. He doesn't have cash, and he doesn't want to use a check or credit card because it can get cheap. People can find out, right? It's not a good idea. So he uses an animal. He gives the woman an animal. So the halach is esnan hu v'asr le carbon. It's not be bored of the carbon. The esnan stomach siv. It says by an esnan. It says in the chumash you're not allowed to bring any esnan, no matter who the zayna was and who the relationship with you and the zayna was. Lo ishna ima v'lo ishna pli. It doesn't matter if the zayna was your own mother. Guy goes to his mother, pays for his nus with that animal. That animal is now treif, can't be brought on the mizbech. Frekt Rashi, v'afal gavdi, t'boy lebedina kamar, ta tainli asnanani loy mechavinolei. What would happen? The guy lives with his mother. His mother is the zayna. And he doesn't pay his mother. His mother comes to him a week later and says, you owe me a tle. You owe me an esnan. So he says to her, he's also in London, tells his mother, try to get Bezin to make me pay. Because I'm going to get misa for living with my mother. So I have kim lebed ramine. I won't have to pay.
Did he know it was his mother?
Yeah, he knew. Well, first of all, it's a machloikis. We'll see if there's kim levi drama even by shogging it.
Oh.
That's a machloikis, which we'll have to get to at some point. Machloikis was shogging, machloikis maybe tonight. Okay, so it says Rashi, ki avinu nahala esnanu. Now, when he gives that payment, if he decides to whatever reason give that esnan, that would constitute an esnan would be us in the Torah. That's the chiddush. Meaning Rashi's learning Rava. The Rava says, Esnan osa terev afil balima, which means if a man is using the Esnan as a payment to his mother, who he had a maisa's nus with.
He's not chayav to pay it. It there, that's a gift.
So that's the question. Why is that as an Esnan? That should be like, a gift that he gives on his own. Bishlama, if it's a chi of mamanis, and Bezin can make you pay for that transfer of znus for goods, so then you have to pay it. So why is this osa? Says Rashi, this is where it gets interesting. Says Rashi, Alma we see, Afi, so that's the facts. The facts are that Asnan Asatara fell about Ima means that if a person gives his mother payment for Znus with the animal is treif on the Mizbech. Question is why? It's not a transfer. Bishlam, we understand that Torah doesn't want transferred money for Znus, but this is not a transfer because he never owes her money in the first place. Let's example, a guy lives with a Zayin for free. And then he gives her a gift 10 minutes later. Would that be Osnan? No.
El Mayit said it right to that side of the Chakila, that he really is Mechuyiv.
Oh.
It's just that it's not a real case.
Exactly. Zakrashi, Alma, what do we see? Afil b'malkin Misa, even when a person's getting Misa, he's getting death penalty, Nami Rama Tashlumin Aleha. There still is a Chi of Mamanis. Elo, this is the most important part, Elo Shein Koyach Lo'on Shabishtayim. But Bezin doesn't have the power to make you pay both, to make you do both, meaning to get killed and to pay. But your chiyuv lotzis de shemayim will not go away. Means your guy will get up to shemayim, he's going to have to be held accountable for that moment that he never paid for the zayinah. Says Rashi, I'll prove it to you. Because if that wouldn't be the case, ki avi nahala, when you give the esnan, mi have esnan. Matana ba'al muhudi yovla. You're just giving her a gift. Why would that be called an esnan? Rashi is assuming that when the Torah asks esnan, it asks esnan no matter who the zayin is. So, Frank Rashi, why is that an esnan zayin? I'm not mechuyev to pay you. This is not a transfer of goods for service. Elamai, it is, says Rashi.
Is that even a legitimate good chance for a good thing. One day, if I go into a store to buy something and I don't,
well, that's the chiddush of esna.
This is an avera.
Yeah, but that's the chiddush of esna. The Torah says when this korban's purpose was to be a trade for znos, I don't want it on the mizbeach.
So that should work for every kohen tomorrow. If someone wants to clear his slate, and
right. So according to Rashi,
he should always.
That's right. Yeah. So according to Rashi, there's a new chiddush in kinyan d'rabbanan. Every time a person is exempt from kinyan d'rabbanan, he still has to, you know, deal with it before he gets to shemaim, which is what Rashi calls the chiyuv lotzei sidei shemaim.
If he wants to.
If he doesn't want to deal with Hashem when he gets up there, right? So now let's just go back to the sugya of Bamitzi.
So is it just like a delayed reaction, so to speak?
No,
meaning you got to deal with it. Just we can't deal with it right now, so you'll deal with it later. I like to look at it as
a technical Bezdin problem. Bezdin technically can't mun you. Bezdin can't make you pay, but it's there. It's you know.
Right. So the chiyuv lies in
like the IRS until they come looking for you. You know.
Right. So at some point you got to pay it up before you die.
That's right.
Only if you have a clear conscience.
Chiyuv is when you get up to Shemaim, Hashem is gonna mun you. So most of us don't want to have to deal with that.
Might as well take care of it here.
You want to clean it up before you get up there.
I'm just trying to understand the distinction between whether he owes it, and in this case, whether because of the way in which she's claiming the money or the tleh, is she even entitled to get that money? So, for example,
she's not.
If you say to somebody, "I want to pay you to do an avera," right?
Yes.
And you don't pay them, can they sue you?
Yes. As long as it's not a case of kibbutz d'rabbanan, yes. Because they're two separate issues. You're a bad guy for having znos, but you still owe me for what you
not
did.
Not just you, but the recipient is entitled to get the money.
Yeah, because we made up a financial agreement.
Even to do something that's...
Even though the action was wrong, yeah. Okay. But the case over here is because since the money is not obligated because of kimlei, that's why it's different over.
No, I understand.
So let's just go back to...
In general, zonah can be tefes the money?
No, you owe her financial money. What she did is her problem.
Right. Really? The Chiyuv Mamonis is there?
Yeah, you made an agreement with her.
You're going to have to pay up.
No, because over here, it's two separate things. Meaning, over here, you made up a Chiyuv Mamonis. The Chiyuv Mamonis was neveh from the fact that we made up to do my sister. Now, we didn't really get to... What about a regular Zayin? What about a regular Zayin? Oh, that's what I get to. We'll get to number 7. We'll talk about a regular Zayin in a second.
None of Rashi's Svarda applies to Knas.
Oh, you're assuming that.
How? I mean,
you can
read it another way.
No, anybody, Gemara punkt happens to be talking about Misa de Shemat.
But the way Rashi puts it, he's
that. Good. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Oh, right. We always talk about these types of things. Is it a tour or it's a technical problem Bezdin can't do in Bezdin? But let's say, we spoke about this last week with Karis, right? And maybe there's a Chiv Karis in theoretic till 20, and then after 20, then it becomes practical, right? We spoke about it. We'll talk more about it. If a cotton's mazik, right, if he has to pay back, right? There are Shulchan Aruch. So let's finish up this Rashi, because Rashi drops another bomb on us. Now, again, what we need from Rashi is already this Yisoid. The Rashi just made up. This is made up by Rashi, right? This was, you know, this didn't exist in the, you know, before the year 1100. Rashi was Mechalish HaChadish, that when there's a Kim Leibid Rambine, there still is a Chiv Lost to Sidesh Man. Where did Rashi get it from? He got it from the Gemara. Now, how does that make sense in the Gemara? Bamitzi is like Rashi. We got Bechoysim Nami, Tashlum and Ramoleh. Same thing. I owe this guy money for not feeding his animal. I didn't feed this guy's animal for the hours that I muzzled it. Therefore, I owe him the money. Elo she'in koyach bebezdin lo'in trishtayim. Bezdin doesn't have the ability. So Seth pointed out correctly, if you read Rashi, what is Rashi keeping harping on? Bezdin. Bezdin can't do two. What about if it's not Bezdin doing the two? It's Hashem doing the two. When would Hashem be the one doing the two?
Karis.
Is that a different sugya? Does that make things different? We can debate that, which we will in a few minutes. Says Rashi, Elo she'in koyach bebezdin lo'in trishtayim. V'kivin deramu tashlumin aleh. Since there is a chiv tashlumin, lo yotzi de chavosei ad she'isham. You will not fulfill your obligation until you pay up. Which means that there's this hovering chiv that no one can actually make you pay, but if you're going to have to deal with it when you get up to Hashem. Which is what's coined chiv lotzei sidei shamayim. Now, before we go right in Rashi, I was clearing should we get into the sugya or not, but there's another sugya in Baba Kama, which everyone probably remembers learning when they were in the early years of learning Gemara. They always teach you hakoinus. I think it's one of the most lomdish prakim in Shas. It's such a mistake that they learn when you're in sixth grade, because when you get these are such geshmaka sugyas on hakoinus. One day, hopefully, we'll learn hakoinus here. It's on my to-do list to get to hakoinus. But if you learn in the beginning of hakoinus in Baba Kama, the Gemara has this idea called grama b'nizak and potter. Such a concept in halacha, that when you're a groma, you're an indirect cause of damage, you're potter. That's different than a garmi, which is more complicated. But whatever it is. So the Gemara over there has a concept. Is there such a thing called, let's say a guy's potter because he's a grama. So the halach is potter midine adam, v'chayiv midine shemayim. What does it mean, it's chayiv midine shemayim? It means something along the lines of this. It means that Hashem says, listen, in the court of law, where our hands are tied, we can't make you pay because you're considered indirect. But Hashem looks down, he says, come on, you're guilty. We know, Havda like OJ, right? We know you're guilty, right? But the court couldn't get you to pay. Fine. But there's a chiv lot, so there's shemayim. The question is, what does that mean practically? How does that work out? So Rashi says over here, it means that you're going to come up to Shemayim, Hashem is going to have tainus on you for not paying. Now, that's the first version of Rashi. Then Rashi has an inami, which in some Rishonim, it's not an inami, it's one pshat. Itofis loy mafkina mine. There's another nafkimina. Not just if I'm going to have to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Me'ev Esrim, but whether or not, if I'm toifis, do they take it away from me? Meaning, if there is a real chiyuv hanging over the head over here, but Bezdin can't enforce it, what happens if I circumvent Bezdin? Bezdin can't make the guy pay, but I make the guy pay. I walk into his house one night and I rip something off. I take it. That's worth the exact same amount of money he owes me. So Dr. Rashi, lo yimafkin minet, we don't take the money away from you. Why? Because you really deserve the money. It's just that Bezdin can't give it to you because their hands are tied because of a legal loophole. But since Be'etzim, you deserve the money. As long as you can get the money without Bezdin, you get to keep the money. That's called Tfisa.
And we don't do that in the Grama in Nezikin.
Oh, great. So we don't do that. That's a big discussion why we don't do that by Nezikin. Should we do that by Nezikin? Maybe we'll get into it next week. There's a Gansa Ketzois, but a Mashal. Maybe for next week. But Rashi's introducing to us, Inami sounds like it's two separate Pshatim. I mean, they're two separate sugyas. One is Tfisa and one is Losses Yishmai. Most people put it together. It's the same thing, which makes sense. Why? Because if there's a chiv lot of Shemai, that means there really is a chiv here. If there really is a chiv here, if I grab it, I should be allowed to keep it. So therefore, according to Rashi, comes at a very important thing. Rashi actually says, Kach Shemati Bipi Moiri Hazokin, from his Rebbe. Maybe next week we'll talk about who Rashi's Rebbe was, where he lived, where he learned. Okay, in any case, Rashi is telling us a Yisoid and Kim Leib Ramine. The Yisoid is that when it's Kim Leib Ramine, there still is a chiv lot of Shemai, there's still a chiv tfis. Now, if Rashi's correct, Taisvis is problematic. Why? Rashi just introduced us to the notion that when you're potter because of Kim Leidramine, you're not scot-free. You still have the Chiv Lotzis Yishmaim, and you still have the option of your money being grabbed and being allowed to be kept. So if that's true, Frektich Sam Seifer, what Taisvis talking about? Let's go back to Taisvis. Taisvis said, why did Reb Shimon HaTimani need a pasuk to tell me that women that you can't marry, such as Chayav Krisis, don't have knas from a pasuk of Eloi Silisha? Why couldn't they just learn it from Kim Leib Ramine? Oh, it must be. He doesn't know the Kim Leib Ramine. Says Chassam Sefer, what are you talking about? Maybe he holds of Kim Leib Ramine, but Kim Leib Ramine has limitations to it. If I would exempt Chayav Krisis because of Kim Leib Ramine, the man would still have to pay either in Shemayim, or he'd have to pay if the person grabs it. So it wouldn't be a scot-free potter. But if it's because of the pasuk of Eloi Silisha, that's a complete, that's a exclusion, and no money is going to be transferred at all. So what was Taisvis' kasha? So what's a simple answer? Taisvis doesn't hold of this Rashi. Not the first, not the last. Taisvis doesn't hold of this Rashi. Now, is there another way to read this Gemara? How else do you read the Gemara?
It could be that, but the
pashtus would be is that when the Torah says Eloi Silisha, that means this whole parash. We spoke a little bit about this in another shurim, that this whole sugya of knas is only for those women who fit this category. Mm-hmm. If you don't fit this category, you're exempt. You want to suggest that this is Bezdin is exempting you, but there's still a chiv, even though you don't fit the category of the Torah. Maybe, but that's the Chassam Sofer's kasha. Now the problem is there's another way to read this Gemara. How else do you read the Gemara? So if you look in the Shidim Mekubetzes over number 6, the Shidim Mekubetzes has two ways to read the Gemara, not like Rashi, which is perhaps the way Tosis read the Gemara. Says the Shidim Mekubetzes, he quotes from a Ravid. Dr. Ravid, Yesh Mefarshim, how do you read this Gemara? Rava's answer was, Esnan os etayah filo ba'alima. So Dr. Ravid, Yesh Mefarshim, Esnan, i'isa ima lekamon mi'amina le'zil havle. If the mother comes and demands the money from her son, does the son have to pay? The answer is no. The son will never be forced to pay his mother money because of Kim Leib Ramine. But says the Rav, but if the son is foolish enough to actually pay his money, his mother, then it becomes an esna. Meaning, avada, there's no chiv in Bezdin, there's no chiv lot as Shemayim. But if the son decides voluntarily to give the money, it will be stamped an esna. That's pshat in the Gemara. Not that there's, again, according to Rashi, the fact that this animal had its status of an esna is a raya that there's a chiv lot as Shemayim. Says the Rav, not so. Avada is no chiyuv. No one can force him and no one can make him and nothing. But if he willfully gives it, then the Torah considers that an esna.
Is that against Rashi?
Oh, good.
Why are you making this? Why are you saying the chiyuv? chiyuv is that I owe it, and whether I can be forced to pay it or not, they're two separate questions. The status of the of if I can owe it, but you can't make me pay.
So now if I
so
if
why,
I
why are you making them the same?
So if I voluntarily give it, what why does that become an esta now?
Why is it why does it have to be that I'm voluntarily?
That's the only other way to get it. How else would the money ever transfer?
This is a
because I owe it.
I don't own it.
You can't.
But that's why he's learning the Gemara. He's saying, that's what the Rav is saying. Again, Avada Yisa Imal Kamon Miyamin Lezohavla. Again, you can never force it.
So he holds a cumulative obligation. You literally, it doesn't exist as an obligation.
That's what we're going to debate in a
not
second.
Not that Beis Din can't enforce the obligation.
It's.
But those are not the same thing.
I agree. So the question is, so why did...
But
why did the Rav jump to the situation of, well, if the guy decides to give it on his own? Why didn't he
have... It must be that he holds it's not, it, that there's no, that he doesn't owe it.
Right, everyone. Right, but the question is that's is what do you see from the fact that if he does give it voluntarily, it's still labeled an esnan? Why is it not labeled a matana? So you could say
because, he really
because like Rashi, yeah. You could say that
he really owes it.
Or you could say no.
No, it's just a din and esnan.
Or it's a din and esnan. You could debate. Well, no, you could say it's a din and esnan. A carbon that was transferred for purposes of nus, even though it wasn't obligated, but it was used. It's still dirty, right?
It's still it's a grama.
It's still dirty animal, even though it wasn't obligated.
We don't necessarily know that Rashi didn't hold that.
Well, again, we're trying to figure out if the other Rishonim agreed to Rashi's Chiddush. Which, again, until Rashi came along, there's no Raya in the Gemara like that. That when it is Kimlei B'Dramid, there's still something lingering. So I'm just suggesting that this Ravid might be the way Tosfos learned the Gemara. That when the Gemara says Estanos Atarif, Afilu Balim, it doesn't mean, and because the son has a Chiv lost Ishmael to his mother. It's because the Torah says that whenever money is exchanged for Znos, even if it's not forced, but since it's being used in Znos, it's tainted, it's dirty, it's disgusting.
Yeah, but there's no Chiv, so he doesn't help in his Kasha in our Gemara. Tosfos' problem with that Kasha.
No, but I'm just proving to you that you don't see any Yesoid in Rishonim. According to this Ravid, there's no such yisoid in the Rishonim that there's a chiv tvisa or loss of Yishmaim by Kimlei.
Rashi
made it up because of this Gemara.
Rashi makes so much more sense. It makes more sense because... it's exeris akosiv, I get it, but right. Why... I mean, I'm not trying to suggest I know why Akosiv...
No,
why would Akosiv Baruch Hu say, if you do two things, you don't have a chiv... He could say, I'm not going to give Beis Din the right to enforce both, but why would he say, but you're off scot-free? It makes no sense.
It's the same reason why he said, I'm not going to enforce Beis Din.
No, that's
why?
Different.
Why?
Because that's... I don't know why.
I'm with you. Yeah, I don't know. I struggle with this. I'm not sure what's the svar for either of these two things. So Pashim Shad, I like to say, it's a judicial thing. The way Akash Baruch Hu set up the judicial system is that the Beis Din only does a certain amount of whatever. But that's mechatesa. Well, you can debate that.
Even tvisa, after tvisa, it's crazy. You know, does that the allowance go?
Right. So tvisa is a huge raya that there's really a chiyuv here. Yeah. Now, you can't just go around. I mean, I can't walk into your house and grab things and say, well, I'm the muchzik now, I get to keep it. Tvisa only works if you have a legitimate raya, rights to the money. Just Beis Din is hands are tied. So l'chayim, this raivitz pshat might be the way Tosfos is going to learn the Gemara. If you learn the Gemara like the raivitz, then perhaps... You have no raya that there's such a thing called tvisa. If there's no such a thing called tvisa, then the Chassam Sofer's kasha doesn't get off the ground. The Chassam Sofer's kasha is based on the way Rashi read this Gemara. And because of Rashi, we have this new novel idea called tvisa, and Los Yisdei Shemayim, and Kimlei is different. But if you don't learn the Gemara that way, then you have no such basis, which would answer the Chassam Sofer's kasha. Now there's another way to read the Gemara.
I think Tosfos agrees to Rashi by a regular Mamonis case, but by a Kenas, you can't use the same.
That's the Chassam Sofer's text. We'll get to that, hopefully. That's the Chassam Sofer's answer. I'm still holding in his kasha. I'm still in his kasha. But the Chassam Sofer Taka gives that answer in very short. Now, the truth is, it's really Mefurshat Tosfos later on, which we'll hopefully get to. Definitely not today. Okay, let's just finish up the Shita Mukobetzes. I apologize. Let's just do the last shtickle. Now, how else do you read this Gemara? Such a cryptic Gemara. Estan osra toira fil balima. What do those words mean? So Rashi had a pshat, the Ravid had a pshat. Now, the Shita Mukobetzes has another pshat from the Rashbo. The Yesh Mefurshim. Dibedinoi nami mechaivele le shlume. No. Avada, even with Kimlei, you still owe the carbon. The time mishum di ihu asne anafshei lamitan lo. Says the Rashba, a chiddush. Unbelievable chiddush. That the only time we talk about Kimlei B'Dramin is that it's Beis Din or Hashem is the one forcing the mominus. But if you self gave the mominus, who told you to give an esnan money? Torah doesn't say it. Torah doesn't say you have to pay for znos. You decided you want to pay for znos. So that was Dr. Rashba. In such a case, then you have to pay whatever you made up. So then we don't say the typical rules of Kimlei B'Dramin, because it was a self-imposed obligation.
You paid it already, though. So.
All right, it was self-imposed. The root of the obligation.
Or you can't bring your money
right.
back.
And in that case, we don't say the regular rules of Kimlei D'Ramine. Kimlei D'Ramine is when Hashem says, you have to get Misa, and this person has to pay. That's all from Hashem. Here, this mamonis was self-imposed. You didn't have to buy.
I mean, you can't say it doesn't exist. Kimlei D'Ramine doesn't
exist. No, but here you self-impose the Chiv mamonis on yourself. So when you self-impose the Chiv mamonis on yourself, we don't say Kimlei D'Ramine.
Well, if you obligate yourself.
Yeah, you obligate yourself.
You haven't paid.
No. The obligation is rooted in self-obligation. You didn't have to pay.
Unlike a regular Mekach.
Right.
Where the Torah says you have to pay.
Right, let's go Knas. The Torah says if you're Ma'anis a girl, you have to pay her. So that's Kimlei D'Ramine because that comes from Hashem. But here, this was you two made up a deal with each other. Again, a person punches someone in the face. So the Torah says if you punch someone in the face, you have to pay him money. That's a Torah-imposed mamonis. So whenever it's a Torah-imposed mamonis, we say Kimlei D'Ramine. However, says the Rashba, when it's a self-imposed, not the Torah-imposed. Now, one second.
This is the answer.
This is a great Yisoid, right?
This is it. I mean, how can you go against this?
Now, what's the problem with this pshat?
A watch.
What's the problem with this pshat? It's a beautiful pshat, right? How does it fit back into Gemara and Bar Metzia? What's the chi of Bar Metzia? Is that self-imposed or that's obligatory?
What do you mean? Did Akash Hashem said it?
Hashem said you have to pay your friend's worker?
No, you have to feed the animal. No,
that's Hashem said you have to feed animals. The child is that I'm a choy, you have to pay your animal's money. If you look in the Raivin, you write to Raivin Hikshav.
But didn't Hashem say you have to feed the animal? Memela, since you didn't feed, therefore you have to pay.
It says you can't muzzle them.
The Torah says, you're not allowed to muzzle your animal. Right. Okay, right. So again, we can get into this more believe not the next week, but if I don't get home, my wife is going to kill me. But the point is, both of these pshatim and the Rishonim lead us down the same path that you don't have to say like Rashi. So you don't have to say like Rashi, you have no raya on these Rishonim that there's such a concept called Tfisa or such a concept called Lotz Zei Shemai. If so, then you don't have the Chassam Sefer's Kasha. The Chassam Sefer walks in with a Kasha. In fact, the Chassam Sefer, I don't understand Taisus. Taisus is saying that why do I need a pasuk to exclude Kares? Let them all be excluded because of Kimlei. In fact, the Chassam Sefer, what are you talking about? If you exclude it because of Kimlei, it has different ramifications. Who says? Rashi right. Bometzir. What happens if you hold like the Raivid, you hold like all these other Rishonim? So the whole Kasha of the Chassam Sefer is based on Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. So we'll see Blina the next week how the Chassam Sefer answers it and whether or not the Chassam Sefer's Kasha could be shver according to all Rishonim. Okay.